The Hawaiian Comedian presents.
I've been doing comedy for over 23 years, and I've been on the road. I've been in different cities. I've been different things like that.
We're here to talk about everything, man. The topics you talk about with your friends, your family, questions you got for us. Quitty in the City.
Aloha.
Man, I get back from vacation. I got a treat. We got a guest. I got THC to the right, not left of me.
No, we're sitting right next to each other like we're calling a basketball game right now. Yep.
We didn't switch to sports, ladies and gentlemen. This is Twitty in the City. I'm Twitty. That's T-H-C. It stands for The Hawaiian Comedian. I'm not going to say that all the time because that's a tongue twister.
It's really long.
However, I'm on vacation.
Right.
I get back. T-H-C is like, hey, for our next session, come hungry. And right. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, who is it? And he's like, I'm not going to tell. I'm like, bro, I need to know who.
No, you don't. And no, you don't. You kept asking. I know you did, but you don't need to know.
I do need to know. It's like if he was going to bring my favorite piece of food. I want to know because if I can put in a request, I'm going to put it in.
I think I did, though.
You kind of did already.
I think I did, though, because I can smell it from here.
I know. So we need to get them in frame.
I can smell it from here.
So we can start eating. So, ladies and gentlemen.
I've been excited. I've been so excited about this episode. This has been on the back. I've been more excited about doing this episode right now than I have been when we did our first episode.
Well, fellas, that should tell you something. I've been doing a lot of episodes with him, and your first time on, he's more excited about. So, for those in the 208, you know, Hoagland Meat is in the building. We have Chris, blue shirt, and we have Spence. Is it like a gray shirt?
Like a grayish. Whatever. It could be whatever.
Light gray is what we're going to call
it. Gray.
Fellas, welcome. Thank you for coming and obviously bringing a feast. Let's just get introductions out the way. We'll start with Chris. What is your exact title with Hoagland Meat?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see, I've been with Hoagland Meat for about 8 months now. I started out as a retail store manager, and then just duties and responsibilities and wearing many hats has progressed me to I'm the chef there now. I work the retail store, and then I manage the plant as well.
So I got to ask this part. I would have never guessed. So you went from retail to now being the chef. And I've heard you're not like a rookie chef.
No,
like
Yeah. We heard you can get down.
Yes, absolutely. I have over 20 years plus experience working. My first job was working at Taco Bell, worked my way up to fast formal. I went to fine dining. I did some executive chef positions here in Boise, Idaho, Meridian area.
Okay.
Yeah, so I can compete with the best of them out there.
Okay.
So and you know what? That's I like how he started with Taco Bell.
Right?
Like, I like how he first said, I started at Taco Bell. Because there's sometimes, you ever go to a Taco Bell and you're like, dude, that taco just tasted different.
It's Chris.
Than normally it did. But you cause headaches for us because we start chasing that taco and you are no longer there anymore.
Yep.
So they're not making them like that no more.
You had a regular person. As soon as you left, they were like, I don't know what they did, but something's different.
Something's different now.
That's a special thing. You also notice how he titled retail first.
Yes.
But it's like, how are you this good? Oh, I got 20 years. It's like, you should start with that first. Not saying retail is not important. I would lay down the hammer with the chef part first. That's cool, man. All right. So, Spence, we had a debate off camera.
Yes.
Is it legally Spencer or is it Spence?
It's legally Spencer.
Okay.
It could be whatever. And honestly, most people call me Spence anyway, so it just it's
okay.
Whatever.
So we have whatever. Spence, legally Spencer, because I don't want mom or anybody out there getting mad like they were saying his name wrong. So
or there's somebody out there that said it one way and got yelled at by Spence. Yeah,
I think if it was like, legally Spence, I'd have more problems with it.
Gotcha. Fair enough. So Spence, obviously retail and chef. What is your specific title with Hoagland Meat?
So my specific title is basically business management. So I deal with all the business relations side of it. Ooh. I sell mainly direct to businesses. So we do all the wholesale, all that kind of stuff, manage all the pricing on that end, and just build those relationships.
Is that something you went to school or was kind of like Chris had a background in, or was it kind of one of those opportunity presented itself and kind of figuring it out as you go? Or
so how it started was, when Hoagland started, they had actually just done basically processing and they weren't really selling to anybody. They had a lot of processes going out to different restaurants, different programs.
Right.
Well, that cut and they they decided, oh man, well, we got to start selling direct to consumer. Let's start supplying the valley.
Right.
And they just didn't know how to go about it. So they were going to farmers markets, doing things like that. And then they actually hired me through a modeling agency, believe it or not. And
you want to know what's funny? He just casually threw that in there. Casually. You know what I'm saying? I'm over here missing teeth in my mouth. He's over there and he's got nice pearly. He's like, yeah. Oh, they got me from a modeling agency. He snuck that in though real quick.
Just casual.
So continue, Spence. So got done model.
So they got us through an agency, and me and my wife were the only people working to this agency in the state.
Okay.
So they got a hold of us, and we started running with them, doing some markets, some farmers markets, stuff like that. He called me and said, hey, this is the program we want to build out. Can you do it?
Ah.
I'm like, yep, let's do it. From there, we built out the website, worked hand in hand with them on getting all the processes, all the original boxes, all the different options built out. And then I've just been with them ever since. And
so you've had a hand in literally everything.
Everything. Just which about. Helps me sell everything because I know all the processes for all of it. But also, we just decided to make a big shift from retail, direct to consumer.
Which is what I like about you guys, which, by the way, we had a debate about this. It's HoaglandMeat, no S, .com. Don't put the S.
Don't put the S.
HoaglandMeat.com. And as Spence was saying, you guys have several different variety box packaging. And I like how you word them for the time of year. Like there was one that was called like a burnout box. There was a grill box set. I, for somebody who don't have a lot of knowledge of, I guess you would call it meat lingo or the correct terms. I like the terms that explain to me what the vibe and what the mood is. So my question for you, Spence, was, is that something you did on purpose? Because to know that not everybody might know the specific names, or what was behind how you name these different box packagings or things of that nature?
You know, originally when we started, we just wanted to go off quantity and we pictured like, what would, if you're buying this box, is this a family thing? Is this a two-person thing? Like how big of this? And then it got to a point where it was like, hey, most people are actually seasonal cookers. You know, you don't see a lot of people out there on the smoker in January, December. And so
I would disagree. I grill right in front of my garage when it's snowing. Yep.
You're not listening. He said, not everybody. He didn't say no one.
I got you. I was just throwing my hat in the ring.
Right. You're speaking up for that 10%. You're like, that's us.
Right. There's a bunch of us out there that do that. And yes.
Gotcha.
Right in the middle of the snow.
Yeah. No, I like that. That's awesome. Okay. I'm going to go to Chris, Mr. Retail, but 20 years of chef experience. Nobody's going to talk about that. Mm. You have two types of meat for us. And me and THC were talking about this. I want you to geek out on the prep for this meat.
Did you prepare this?
I did not prepare today. Today was a processing today, so I was needed at the plant. So Spencer took over. But I have Spencer has seen me cook many a great meals at his house before, so I have taught him.
Okay, so you followed.
Yes,
he comes and cooks at my house, and it's amazing.
I hope so. He's the doggone chef.
Yeah.
Has he ever cooked you something that you were like, there's no way I'm going to like it, and then you loved it?
Yeah, lamb.
Really?
You know, that's the number one thing.
It is, though. There's definitely a lot on how to cook lamb.
Yes.
Because places I go, there's certain, I'm like, nah.
Yeah, some of them get them right, and a lot of them don't get them right at all.
Is that easy for you, Chris, now? Or would you say, was that one of maybe the toughest types of meats?
Without giving away any of your secrets.
Yeah.
No, lamb is has a certain flavor profile that you had to adapt and make general for everybody. So the key to that is using notes and flavor profiles and bodies and depth and textures to complement that around the essential flavor of lamb, because lamb is a very unique flavor.
Gotcha. So definitely you want to cook it whole, not if it's going to be just for two people. It's rather to have four or five plus. So then you're not.
Is there any kind of seasoning you should stay away from when you are preparing lamb?
I am not a stay away from type of seasonings. It's brave and adventure to go out there and explore new flavors.
But I mean, is there nothing? There's nothing like this. You just, I mean, when somebody puts it on there, you look at them, you go,
You know, you would be surprised because the contrast of sweet and savory and how each one of those can be construed in so many different ways,
yeah.
You'd be surprised what would actually pair.
That's fair. That's fair. So one day somebody's just sprinkling in cinnamon.
Yeah.
And just go, and you're like, and then you taste it, and you're like, why have we not been putting cinnamon on this the whole time?
I'm not doubting Chris. If he says it can work.
It can work.
It can work. It can work. That man's got, that man was at Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
I guarantee you he was Bell.
He was putting the bottom, now we're here.
He was putting something in that sauce or season that he wasn't supposed to, but that's how he had that 11:59 midnight crew coming in. Yeah, I was one of those. Not here, but... I had a Taco Bell in Virginia at midnight. Had to go get me that crunch wrap and them two soft tacos. Mm-hmm. Something different about them. All right. So we got to, are you going to cut? How are we going to?
Yeah. I'll have him serve while I am explaining what is going on here.
He's got to explain. Yeah.
Yeah, because you got to explain. You got to explain like how this was prepared.
I went with two cuts of meat today. I went with the ribeye because any steak lover who knows their worth in steak is about the ribeye. Okay. The ribeye is going to be your most flavorful cut just because of the marbling or intramuscular fat is what they call it.
Intramuscular
fat. That is what you are looking for when you are looking for a good ribeye, is that marbling. Okay. Thickness is also another one. I personally enjoy the inch to inch and a quarter, inch and a half if you're getting crazy with a bone, just for cooking purposes.
Okay.
The thicker the steak, the harder the sear that you can get on the outside of that, which is going to just create so many flavor profiles for you with the Maillard effect by, you know, caramelizing the sugars in the steaks, which brings different notes and different layers and depths and profiles in what you are tasting. And then I went with a lesser known cut, which is going to be the second most tender steak on there, the filet being the number one, which is going to be your flat iron steak. Okay, with the new processes and everything going on and with, you know, cattle getting bigger, this is a muscle that now within the last 20 years have actually become really popular. It is actually the muscle that it comes from the chuck cut. So say I was a cow, it would come from your shoulder, and it's a long muscle that comes from the chuck. It's about 4 to 5 pounds. But once you break it down into steaks, you're only going to get 4 8-ounce steaks off that muscle. So it's a very highly prized cut of meat that you have to work for, but it's worth
every penny.
So when you're saying work for it, you're talking which state of work? Are you saying just from the process from start to finish or from the... Because you just said you were in the...
absolutely.
The production, which is why you couldn't cook this today. But Spence did a good job. It looks amazing.
It better be amazing.
But the process of removing that muscle from its entirety is a lot of work because there obviously it connects to other muscles, so there's like going to be a lot of connective tissue, a lot of silver skin, a lot of intramuscular fat that you want to get rid of, some possible mole skin on top of that. That is a term that I use for a piece of meat or membrane over the meat that you can't cut with a knife. So if you can't cut it with a knife, you're definitely going to cut it with your teeth. You want to make sure so you remove all that.
Yeah.
And then basically there's a huge vein that runs right through the middle of that. So you want to make sure that you remove that. Once you do that, you're left with about 2 1-pound pieces.
That's square why those off, viable.
You cut them off. And so it's between two muscles and that vein in its side, it's going to have so much moisture. And it's tender because muscles that aren't used very often are tender.
That makes sense.
Okay. And I was watching too, like when he was cutting that, like that was like no problem.
Yeah.
So it was just like straight through.
Yeah. So when you talk about thickness and cooking, obviously I've always heard this philosophy. I feel like a lot of people have. Are you a low and slow, or is it a combination of you cook at about 350, 450, but it's just about how often you're rotating it? And you would know that. I know Spence cooked it, but you know the philosophy of like when he was cooking it, you probably had that muscle memory of, okay, if he put it in at this time, he probably should have flipped it.
Yeah.
Also, are you gonna make it? I couldn't see you fully, but I just seen a body disappear. And I thought.
Melted in my mouth. Melted. 100% melted.
All right, let me
yeah.
get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah,
get
in
pretty
there.
Big slices, so.
I'll take it. Don't worry.
All the way down to the tenderness of that. Look at the chew. I chewed twice. I chewed twice and it went down. How many times have you eaten a steak and you were sitting there just all day like it was gum?
That is stupid. That is stupid in a good way. Wow. No pun intended. Holy cow.
Even the fat.
So, okay. So
I'm a
take
fat
me,
eater. I like the fat.
Take
the
me through this process. Mm-hmm. When you're cooking this, let's go with the ribeye first.
Okay.
You're perfect. Going, get your temperature. I'm going to just say how I would have imagined it. And you let me know right, wrong, totally off the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is why you're the expert. So when I'm cooking steaks or ribeyes, I go anywhere 425. Once we get to that temp, I'm on one side for 3 to 5. And then I'm on 3 to 5 for another, and I completely turn my grill off, and I put it on the rack, and I let it rest still in my my grill for another 3 to 5.
Yep. So that is usually the way that you can't go wrong.
Gotcha.
Doing it that way. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of variables when you're doing that. What cut of meat are you using? We're going to go with this ribeye.
Okay, yeah,
ribeye,
please.
Is going to be is one of those that has a lot of versatility. It's best eaten medium rare, medium at best. This is definitely not a low and slow kind of steak. Okay, this is definitely a hot, a sear, boom, flip it over, boom, let it rest, mid rare. You're going for 130. Okay, it's going to rest, so it's going to continue cooking. It's going to get to that about that 135 range, and then it's going to be perfect. The key to success to not have a dry steak is to let it rest. When you're cooking it, we're cooking all that moisture out of that steak.
Yep.
When you let it rest, you let it soak back in there. So it's super important. You know, you could do it most ways. I like cooking mine on a cast iron skillet.
Yep.
Okay. You take that cast iron skillet, you put it on that super, super high level to where you see the pan smoking. You throw some butter on there, salt, pepper, garlic, thyme, and rosemary if you're into that, and you just sit there and you just baste it, and you baste it. So you're literally marinating the steak where you're getting that hard sear on the bottom.
Okay.
Boom, flip it over after 2 or 3 minutes, okay? Boom, put another hard sear on this. Now, at this point, your steak is going to be about rare. And then usually what I do is I take one of my Bluetooth thermometers, put it in there, stick that cast iron skillet in at 400 degrees.
Okay.
Into the oven. Finish it and pull it out when it's at 120. I like my steaks rare to medium rare. So then I pull it out, let it seat, enjoy.
Okay. So again, you're using, because I have a cast iron skillet and I got one 2 years ago, and I feel like this is the peak because it now is getting all that seasoning from trying to use it. So you're going with really the cast iron skillet is making it look good on the outside.
Absolutely.
And that 400 in the oven is where the deed is getting done, the finishing touches.
Absolutely.
I'm feeling hella educated right now.
Dude,
I ain't gonna be able to pull this off.
Just by listening to Chris, I found out I've been doing it all wrong.
Same.
Like all wrong.
Same.
I've been sitting there, I'm like, oh, pour butter on it. Maybe that's what it'll do. Maybe just pour butter. And I haven't used a cast iron skillet, but now I have a brand new one too. Yeah. So I'm gonna start using that.
Yeah, so when you're saying
cast iron skillet, you got to make sure you season it first.
Okay.
You got to season it. So you got to make sure you rub it down with your choice of oil that you would like to use. I would stay away from seed oils, but beef tallow is probably your best bet. You get it in there. You stick it in the oven at 350. You season it for 10, 15 minutes. You pull it out. You season it. You put it back in there. It's seasoned.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
Don't wash your cast iron skillets.
Oh, my grandma, she is still alive. Grandma Katie Marie Green. She's had a cast iron skillet. It's as old as I am. And I remember in high school, I went to clean that thing. I thought she was going to kill me.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was in the sink.
That's a whooping time.
And
right there.
I took that Dawn dish soap and I just heard a yell and a slap of the hand. And she just looked at me and she was like, don't you ever, ever in my kitchen, your kitchen, somebody else's kitchen, you don't ever put soap in a cast iron skillet.
That's right.
And she was like, you're getting ready to destroy my hard work. Yep. And I'm like, it's a cast iron skillet. But now that's all that seasoning. Because she didn't have to put nothing in it. She just turned it on. You just start seeing bubbles.
Yeah.
Yep. And I was like, I thought she was putting butter in it. But little do I know, it was just 23 years of seasoning already in there. So I know that rule. I almost died.
And this was cooked cast iron, right?
Yep.
Okay. So is that your go-to, Spence, as well?
Yeah, especially for steaks. Yeah. Yeah, gotcha. We actually have like 3 or 4 cast iron skillets, different sizes. So depending on the steak.
The steak and the size.
Yep.
So I also notice, I don't see as if there was a lot of seasoning on this. It's simple recipe or so just a... That,
it was mainly because if you want to actually taste the beef. Now, right. I'm a seasoning guy. I love seasoning. But before I cooked it, I talked to Chris. Chris said, just salt and pepper that baby. Throw some butter in there. Get it done. And that way you can actually taste the beef rather than just seasoning.
Taste the beef. That's right.
It looks like there's no seasoning. I feel like I'm tasting 15 different types of seasoning, which is I'm tasting the beef.
That's right.
Which I'm learning because I used to be a sauce person. And I'm sure Chris is about to look at me like we can't be friends. But I'm starting to learn when you have good meat, you're paying for that.
Yes.
So don't add anything to
it. Don't need sauce.
Right. Yeah. Don't need sauce. You just need salt, pepper. And then I use, what is that? It's not, I think it's Kinder.
Barbecue sauce?
No, it's a seasoning. Starts with a T or a K. I can't remember. But I just use 3 things, salt, pepper, and that. And it's very little.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the more I started trying to learn to cook meat, and it's like, it's just... Hey, you're paying for the meat, so just cook it and let it do the rest.
Right.
I don't know if they can see it at the house, but like,
oh, that is, and that's like, a pretty pink
look
too.
Look at that. Yeah, I mean, that's like perfect.
That is pretty pink.
Look at that.
That's pretty pink.
Perfect.
So
and it's not bleeding.
Chris
it's not
the man on this, but whenever anybody asks me, because everyone, especially if you're selling direct consumer to people, they're always asking, "How do you cook meat?" I say the first thing you need is to buy a meat thermometer. Get that.
Yeah.
Once you do that. You can run it.
Yeah. So let's, I'm going to give Chris a break. I'm sure he's loving this. I got so many other questions, but I'm going to get to you, Spence, on, so when it comes to this whole process and what is separating, and maybe Chris, you're a part of this because you said you couldn't cook this today because you were actually out. When it comes to what is separating Hoagland Meat, aside from being local and the cattle being here, any, like how you're feeding the cattle, is there a specific, it's real natural, more of a simple process. They're not really going through a lot. Take me through that process, because my wife's grandfather is a rancher. And so I'm slightly learning what separates his cattle as well. He's up in Cambridge, Idaho.
Okay.
But I'm starting to learn a little bit about that, how to feed them, why you feed them, even to whereas what part of the field they're in for a certain part of the day. So I guess I'm kind of getting at is the process of what determines that beef is right and ready to get handed over to Chris.
Yeah, so there's actually a couple different things, and we'll just keep it super basic. But basically, the difference between what we do is we work with local ranchers that do a pasture-raised or a free-range product, meaning they are not on a feedlot their whole life, okay?
Okay.
So that's going to be a big difference. We're not using artificial hormones, anything like that, to just beef that thing up. We're not trying to add any excess weight. The other thing is, even though they've been grass-fed their whole life from pasture or free range, we do a grain finish, typically the last 30 days. That's going to add that marbling.
Gotcha.
So we're not trying to add a huge fat ring around them.
Right.
We're trying to add marbling through the meat. And so that grain finish, which is just a corn, basically, it's going to add that marbling in the middle.
Gotcha.
So that's what's going to give you the flavor profile. Now you have different varieties like a grass-fed, grass-finished. Some people really like that. To me, it's a little gamier, a lot more lean. Nothing wrong with it. People love it. But we do the grain finish specifically for the flavor and taste.
Okay, that makes sense. And obviously, doing it at the end, it's so you don't... Because I'm assuming if you do it too early, then you could lose that marbling. Or it could be too much, I'm assuming, is why you're choosing towards
it could,
the end.
And a lot of people see grains as unhealthy, right?
Right, right.
And so people want a pasture-raised product. The difference between like a feedlot is generally a feedlot, they're pumping them full of grain and the whole way. And that's going to bloat them. Also, grain retains a lot of water, so you're going to have a lot of water weight in that meat.
Yeah.
Things like that. Again, just a basic level of that. So you kind of have this medium where you're not pure grass-fed, where it's only eating grass, it's a tough lean meat, versus it's just being grain 24/7, bloating up and just retaining a bunch of water and moisture and stuff like that. So, and that also is, you know, people think of quality of life and all that kind of stuff, which, believe it or not, does play, you know, hormones and stuff do play a part in the tenderness of your meat.
For sure.
And so we try not to stress animals and keep them as happy as possible, because that actually gives you a better piece of meat.
Yeah, so when you're talking about bloatingness of your cow and your cattle, because I've seen some of this. There's some who they have a huge, I call it almost like a second heel on the sides. That's too much. Because you probably, you want some roundness on the side. What, if you can kind of gauge the ideal estimate, I know there's some I see where literally you see the head and you fully can see the roundness from the side. It's like, I don't think that's good. But then I'll see some where you can't even see any. It's kind of, they're very skinny and narrow.
Right.
And I've learned that means that they're not being fed properly or they're just too muscular because they're moving around so much to go get fed. So I guess I'm trying to ask slash maybe give a description. You said you're trying to find that fine line. What is the ideal, if you had to put in a percentage of archness, I guess, on the sides?
A percentage of archness?
Because I don't know the terminology, and I'm frustrated because I got so many questions. But
well, you know what? I would guess 90% of people wouldn't know the terminology for that anyway.
Yeah.
So like I said, just keeping it basic, it's hard to say. Realistically, because it depends on breeds and things like that, because everything's going to breed different. Everything's going to have a different look.
Okay.
And generally, if you're getting a good marbling, it comes from more than just the feed, right? If you're getting a good piece of meat, it comes down to genetics. It comes down to breeding. It comes down to lineage. Like, there's so much more to it than just, I went and bought a cow and I put it in a field. And then I fed it just enough, and it worked out great, right? So there's a lot of science that goes behind everything, keeping your acidity at the right level, all those types of things. But in reality, that's why Angus is so popular, right? That's the one everybody knows. And I wouldn't even say Angus is the best meat.
Really?
But it gives a great yield. And
okay.
That one is a great one to work with as far as yield and a decent product that everybody knows and everybody's like, oh, it's Angus. That's the best.
Yeah. It's a process. It's almost like how Chris cooked this. It's salt, pepper, a cast iron skillet, flip, 400.
Yep.
you know. So Chris, during this process, are you at all out there as well to, I don't want to say monitor, but.
Kind of like picking them out.
Yeah.
Like. Picking out like that one, needs to be out here a little bit longer.
Not just like picking out like in a sense, but because I would imagine for somebody with your knowledge, you want to know where that cow or that cattle, what's their process has been like. So, you know, as you were saying, when you're pulling out and getting it down to the nitty gritty, you know what you're dealing with. Or is that just they give me what they give me and then that's my job is during that to figure out based on how it looks and how it was frozen, where I can go from there?
Well, you can go a lot of ways with this. So usually what we like to do is we like to surround ourselves with like-minded ranchers who share our same morals and integrities that we do. So we work side by side with Karen every day, who is one of the owners there. And, she's there side by side grinding with us. You know, we go to her ranch. We eat there. We hang out. We socialize. And we see the process going on. So we surround ourselves with people with like-minded values. When it comes to processing them, you know, intaking them, and then doing the deed that we have to do, you know, we try to be as gentle. But, you know, don't get me wrong. I see a thick girl coming in. I'm like, I'm going to check your sixth rib and see, see how it looks in there.
And she's like,
Yeah, so, you know, that's it in a nutshell.
Gotcha. Interesting. Yeah, I was just curious if you're, like you said, in there, which I feel like you kind of want to.
Yes.
Because I feel like it makes your process easier. Like you say, you have a like-minded rancher. You know, I know when I get this, this is it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I know this meat should look like this. It should have been processed like this. We're good to go.
Yeah, the consistency with these ranchers now, with their genetics and their feed programs and how they're raised and taken care of, you see the same cut of beef coming through the consistency. That's the most important part, because you have some players in the game that can produce a really good high quality, but the next batch comes out and it's like subpar, which leaves, you know, a bad taste in your mouth. Consistency is the key to everything.
Yeah, and obviously for you guys, consumers, HoaglandMeat.com.
I want to let them know. They gave us a promo code, too.
Yes. See, you're good other than just eating.
My steak is gone. I'm about to cut another piece here in a minute.
This is also why it's named Twitty in the City, because I have to do the talking, and he just cleaned that cleanly.
Done.
But if you go, HoaglandMeat.com, pick out whatever package. I'm assuming you can also do custom packaging.
Yep.
Absolutely. You can, if you want to get fancy, dabble it up a little bit, mix it up. Either way. THC, the number 25. That's your promo code to get 10% off. There is a $40 minimum.
But what do they get for that?
I know what you're thinking. You're like, why are you gonna make me spend that much? Because you're automatically getting free delivery.
Free delivery.
You're welcome. I'll let you sit. Yep, you apologize to me. Yep, you're sorry. Yes, that's why there's a minimum. So you can get a free delivery of whatever cut, whatever custom or regular custom box you want. So HoaglandMeat.com. I can't even explain to you the list that is on that thing. I'm ready to buy about one every box every other month.
And we got Spence in here. Like, now, was this something that I heard about? We can't order outside of Idaho.
Right. So currently you cannot.
I heard currently.
Currently.
That's what I heard currently, too. That's what I wanted to hear more of.
So, you know, in the future, obviously, dreams go big, right? So
correct.
We want to go across the country. But the whole idea is local meat for local people, and that's always been our phrase. And so the idea is that community takes care of that community. And what we really believe in is Treasure Valley Ranchers taking care of Treasure Valley people. Now, this program is we want to grow it across the country, meaning everywhere we take this, those people take care of their own communities. The idea is you're keeping money right here. You're working with the people right next to you. And the cool thing is, if you were going to make dinner for your neighbor, you'd probably do a better job than if you made dinner and sent it across the country and you didn't even see who got to eat it, right?
Right.
I like that.
And so you do a better job, you're more responsible, and you just create a better product for the people around you.
I like that. So necessarily it wouldn't be putting strain on the cattle, but also the ranchers. If you're like, hey, we're going to start producing in Arizona, I don't need you to make more. You still take care of the Treasure Valley. But you'll go down and find
the ranchers
Arizona
there.
Ranchers mm-hmm. with the same
gotcha
Idaho yes. rancher philosophies.
Yep.
Got it. I like that, though. And then they're in-house. So even though it's Hoagland Meat, but it's from an Arizona rancher, or it's from a Utah rancher, or yes. it's got it.
Because our whole idea is not to be the ranch and the processing plant, right? Like, we can't do it all because then you just turn into a feedlot.
Correct. Because that quantity would just be massive.
Right.
And then that's where you get at what Chris was saying. You
and then Chris goes back to Taco Bell because Chris is like, nah, I'm about quality here. If you guys are going to skip on this quality, yeah. I'm not here no more.
But that makes sense, though, because, yeah, you don't want to have this much range on. You go somewhere and you're correct. Like, man, that steak correct. Was hidden. And then you think you got same ounce,
right,
same
right,
brand.
Right.
You cook it the exact same way. And for somebody like me, you might think it's the user. It's like, why did I cook that one that way? And I thought I was on the same level as Chris, but I got the same steak I thought. And now I'm over here feeling like I'm an eighth grader.
Correct.
Sometimes it's the quality of the meat.
Right.
Sometimes and not the user. I mean, sometimes we can be wrong, but
Most of the time, I think we could be wrong. I really don't blame ranchers. I know ranchers and chefs. I know you guys know what you're talking about, and I know some of us food critics, but I would say most of the time, we're the wrong ones.
We are the wrong ones, but you know how you can easily isolate and get the rancher out of the way is if you get it from Hoagland Meat, because we just had this conversation. 100%. You know what 100%. You're getting.
And you know how I know, I had taken I cleaned this plate, by the way. And the thing was, is that usually when you eat a steak, when you get down to the end of a steak, because it's gotten a little bit colder than it was when you first started, or it got a little bit, this thing stayed
good.
Tender all the way through.
This
like,
is still good.
I even waited a little bit, let it sit for a second, came back in it, still had the same taste, the same pop, the same everything. This is fantastic.
Yeah, this is now.
And you can save 10% right now.
That's still good. You got to wrap it up. I'm eating.
I got to wrap it up?
Mention the code. Nope. Do something.
You got. No, I'm gonna grab another piece of steak over here. No, you can.
Y'all see how
you can. If you go to Hoagland Meat, and that's M-E-A-T, not meat.
No S.
HoaglandMeat.com. You go down there. You use our code THC25. Get 10% off your order. Any order over $40. You want it? $40. You want to go more than $40. Tell them why, Twitty.
Because you get a free delivery.
Free delivery.
You could get Spence. Do you do some of the deliveries?
You know what? I try not to, but sometimes I do.
Hey, you see that face? He was a model. You see that modeling face
that's
coming
right.
up your driveway?
They did find him at the agency.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's where they found him.
You see Chris in your driveway. You know that person. How about this? If you're a neighbor
you know
of somebody and you've seen that face, they've been getting Hoagland Meat.
They was trying to hire him for a commercial. That's what it was. And then when he came on, they just said, you know what? He's just a great dude. We should just keep him.
Just keep
like,
him.
And then Chris was in the back like, I came from Taco Bell, man. You can make it here. Yes. 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 Come on, Spence.
Come on.
Then they've been best friends ever since.
I like that. Again, HoaglandMeat.com, Treasure Valley 208. For now, local meat only. If you know local ranchers, they might be serving you. So you're helping them, which is helping these guys help the ranchers. It's all about being local. I'm pretty sure that's why THC went and talked to these guys.
I did.
We're about local. Again, I need to finish this. It's going to be good, even if it's frozen. Chris, Spence,
thank you guys so much.
This isn't the last.
No.
This is not the last.
This is not. In fact, Twitty and I was talking about a little segment that we wanted to do. Like we're so thankful that you guys brought the ribeye. But maybe you guys have something, too, that you can bring in. Maybe some brisket or something that. Because we want to do a little segment with you guys if you guys ever want to come back in again. And we're going to call it the meat sweats.
Yeah.
We want something that where you guys come in here and you're like, no, try this.
Because right now.
One. Which one are you on? You on ribeye or you on?
I respect Chris. I don't know if there's anything else that'll get me off the ribeye. That he cooks, that's where I'm at. So I know ribeye's
on there.
I know this man can cook.
Okay.
But I don't know if he's gonna get me off the ribeye.
I don't know. The way Chris talks about how he can put that down. In fact, no.
What a skillet, dog.
No, but we don't even have to hear it. We don't even have to hear it from him. Spence will let us know. Like, that's true. Any chef that doesn't need to do any of his talking knows what he's talking about.
That is true.
100%.
The fact this man is dangerous with just a skillet and salt and pepper.
And now I know how to get my skillet ready. I got to get my cast iron ready because I was just throwing it down. Like, where's the oil?
As you can tell,
I was doing it all wrong.
We got a long way to go. Luckily, we got Chris and Spence. Again, holymeat.com. Pick out your package. Over $40. THC, the number 25. Get that 10%. Guys, thank you so much.
Thanks again, you guys, for coming in with us.
Absolutely.
This is Twitty. That's THC.
Aloha.
And Spence.
And Chris.
Get it wrong. Chris, we're out.